Right, good morning, everybody. Helen, can we have the outer door closed now, please? Otherwise, all right, have that one. It's okay. Otherwise, I'll end up like an icicle. Right, good morning, everybody. Let's just join together in prayer. Lord and Father, we just bless and praise you and thank you. Our King, our Saviour, our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the purpose we're here for this morning. To sing your praises, to pray and bring you our problems, Lord. To join in communion together. And thank you, Lord, we ask you the power of your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us before we go home. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I haven't had this hymn for a while. And when I tell you what the sermon is, I think you'll understand why. And it's Fight the Good Fight. You're right there.
Up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its way before thee lies. Christ is above and Christ the prize. Here on thy guide, his boundless mercy will provide. Lean and the trusting soul shall prove. Christ is its life, and Christ its love. Fear not, no fear, his arms are near. He changeth not, and thou art dear. Only believe, and thou shalt see that Christ is all belongs to thee.
Get used to this and turning it on and off. You don't want to hear my singing voice. So. Okay. Notices. Right. First of all, I've been asked about Jacob's Well. Now, somewhere, oh, it's over there. The box of Jacob's Well is now being collected or being distributed. And if you've got anything for it, we appreciate it. You put your bits and pieces in it. And I think Fred's in charge over there. That's it. Fred said he'll be in charge. And he asked me if I would announce it. That's it. That's good. Okay. You can say, I'm in charge. That's it. Right. Things are pretty well normal this week. It's tea and chat at normal times. Girls Brigade at normal times. And I've got a little note here, if I can read it. There's catch on Friday. Now I think Helen might say something about that. Oh, Debbie, is that one? It's a light part. Oh, no, that's on the 31st, according to this. That's a separate one, sorry. Party on the 31st as well. That's Helen's one, right? Has Keith got one of these ones? He's got one. Okie doke. I'm sure the children will know a little bit about it as well. Okie doke. Now we've got a little Bible reading this morning. The first one. It's from Genesis 2, verses 20 to 25. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Now that, to me, was the first proper marriage. And what will follow in a few minutes, you'll see this: Adam was given one wife. God didn't take several ribs and make several wives. He made one wife. And it was only man later on where it all went wrong, wasn't it? Okay, that's good. Now, the hymns, I'm afraid, today, I could not find to fit the sermon. So I thought we'd have a time of worship instead, if that was that. All right. Okay. We're going to sing two choruses. Oh, Let the Son of God Enfold You. And In Moments of These. They're both beautiful favourites of mine, and I do hope you like them too.
Son of God enfold you with his spirit and his love. Let him fill your heart and sanctify your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you and his spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lives. Jesus, oh Jesus, sing this song with gladness as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to this name. Oh, give him all your tears and sadness, give him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lives. Jesus, oh Jesus,
sing the next one. If you notice, in the middle of that song it said lifting your hands, and the next one, In Moments of these, there is a thing there that says we lift our hands to the Lord. Now the Jewish people in prayer always lifted their hands. Now, if you feel comfortable, I'm happy if everybody lifts their hands. If you don't, just worship as you feel comfortable in moments like these.
Like these, I sing out a song, I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands, I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing, I love you, Lord.
Sometimes when we sing hymns and songs, we just sing them. And sometimes it's really good to just look at the words. So I'm going to read them back to us. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. That's the purpose we're here this morning, isn't it? We're telling our Lord that we love him. He loves us so much, he sent his son to die for us. And our return is to love him. Very special love. Thank you. Right, Rose is now going to share the proper Bible reading this morning. And it's from Matthew 19, verses 3 to 12.
Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother, and be reunited with his wife, and the two of them will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "Is this a situation between a husband and a wife? Is it better not to marry?" Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there are eunuchs who have made who have been made eunuchs by others. And there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it.
I've got just a few bits of paper here. I'm going to try not to read from them as well. Have you ever felt like digging a hole and jumping in it? Because that's exactly how I feel right now. Because the subject of today's sermon, as you probably gathered, is divorce. And that is not an easy subject. I'm sure whatever I say is going to be wrong for somebody. But I've tried to give a balance and actually show what the different things the Bible says. The things I'm going to bring before you may not necessarily be my view, but for us to think carefully about and not to pass judgment on people today, as things have changed drastically in the last two millennium, I have relied on what the Bible says, which may not be my view. It is difficult at times to understand what the Bible is really saying to us, as it sometimes seems to contradict itself. All I know that one day when I hope to meet my Saviour, all will be revealed to me and I shall understand it a bit better. Earlier on, we were looking at Genesis 2, weren't we? That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife and they become one flesh. We read just now, Rose read to us, a passage from Matthew 19. Yeah. And I think perhaps I'll read it again because it really does need looking at. Some Pharisees came to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? We're going back to Genesis, aren't we? Jesus is actually taking us to Genesis and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. Again, it's taking us back to Genesis. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. Now, just stop there, because to me, that doesn't say a man cannot remarry if he was divorced or divorces a woman who was unfaithful to him. That is one of the little points that perhaps the Lord will show us later. The disciples said to him, if this is a situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry. The rules on divorce in the Bible seem to be heavily weighted against women. And I think they do. It always mentions men, doesn't it? If a woman does wrong, the man can divorce her. But if man does wrong, the woman is stuck with him. That's what it seems to be, doesn't it? So we look at the Old Testament. How many wives can a man have? Right, we go right back to the beginning again. Genesis clearly says, one. We've just read that. Jesus said that too, didn't he? One. But Abraham had three wives and many concubines. And he could have had more wives than that, but we're not sure. David had eight wives plus many more, which actually they're not named, but they actually said he had more wives, plus many concubines. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He's greedy, wasn't he? Now, this is one thing where I have a view. In my view, they were all committing adultery and polygamy by not paying attention to what God did in Genesis. I find it hard to accept that God accepted their actions as okay. I honestly don't understand why God allowed Solomon to have 700 wives and 300 concubines. How did he have time for anything else? So perhaps the Acts of Solomon and the Book of Song of Songs and all the things that Solomon did, perhaps they were done by his servants. Possible, isn't it? He wouldn't have had time for anything. Malachi 2, 14 to 16. You ask, why? It is because the Lord is a witness between you and the wife of your youth. You have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. This is actually giving the other side from the woman's point, isn't it? And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, said the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. God is telling a man he must not be unfaithful in no uncertain terms. So what went before must be wrong. We move now into the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul, though at times seemed to be against women, states the following. We go into Romans 7, 2 to 3. And I am trying to keep to the Bible. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. A woman may remarry if her husband dies. It does not say that she may not marry a divorced man. Now, this is where I struggle a little bit. Isn't a man bound by the same rules? Next. First Corinthians 7, 10 to 16. Paul says, to the married, I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband, but if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. We shall hear later. Rose is going to read something that's very special to you, and you'll see how this can affect people. And a husband must not divorce his wife. To the rest, I say this, I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through the believing husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or the sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? It gives us another little thing. Is there a reason why a man and a woman could separate? It is hard if you're married to somebody as a non-Christian. It would be for anybody. But what Paul is saying, God's love, and if the pair of you love each other, there can still be a special relationship. And perhaps through your love, say you are the Christian, the other party might come to know the Lord. And I hope they would. I have known cases where they have come to the Lord through a believing husband or wife. So is Paul giving people a second chance in enabling marriage? If in a marriage, if one party abandons the other, they cannot be a Christian or they would not do this. Divorce is permissible. If in a marriage, if one party abandons the other, they cannot be a Christian or they would not do this. Divorce, again, is permissible. I think I've just repeated that, sorry. But then we come to something else. What in the case of domestic violence by husband or wife? Is that to be allowed? Again, shouldn't the innocent party be allowed to remarry to have happiness in their lives? Rose was faced with this when she was abandoned, left carrying her child, David. She waited years for her husband to return, prepared to take him back. But he wanted Pastor Janu not to be a husband and father. She became a Christian and eventually divorced him. He was a non-Christian, so what Paul says relates to him. Rose had become a new creation. When we believe and trust and ask Jesus into our lives, the Bible tells us we become a new creation. All that had gone before was forgiven and gone. She was being given a new life. A Christian friend of ours condemned us wanting to get married, doing perhaps we all do, taking a passage of the Bible out of context. But we were blessed by the Christians that we knew and loved us. And we had a blessing service in the church because in the Church of England, it was putting the minister in an awkward position, though he would have done, in asking him to marry us. So we did it in a register office and came and had a blessing service. And we were really blessed by the Christians we knew, and some we didn't, because over 200 people turned up. It was a little church and it was really packed on the stage. It was absolutely everywhere. And the congregation took over. Can you imagine that? Completely took over. The minister there, he says, never heard of anything like that in the Church of England before, where the service was before it was held. And the sermon was by a friend of ours. If you've heard of Trevor Deering, he was his assistant, Robert Lee. And he preached. The sermon was on us crossing the Red Sea to the new land God had given us. And I believe he really did give us that, because we've been married now over 42 years, and we are happy. Bless the Lord for that. We have had our problems, as is true of all marriages, but we've always been able to work through them, and our love is still growing, both for each other and for our Lord, who is our Saviour. Say it again, we have been married over 42 years. The last 20 years of our working lives are spent as photographers and videographers. We met many, many couples, knowing that their marriage would fail. You can see when you meet people. They come to see us, or we go and see them about doing their photography or their videos for them. We met many, many couples knowing that their marriage would fail by their attitude to each other. One failed in under 2 hours. True. They never even made it to the reception. The wife, bridesmaids, most of the families went to the reception. The husband went to the pub with his mates. And that was the end of that. So how do we feel? Shouldn't we do our utmost to help those around us who are having difficulty in their marriage, giving them support and showing them God's love? And perhaps some advice if we consider it helpful. We must try not to condemn. If violence is involved, to point to the people who are there to help. Perhaps we might not be qualified to deal with that, but there are people who can help. And we should not let a woman, especially a woman who has been mistreated, or sometimes a man. I am a sinner. Jesus died to save me from my sins. And I thank him from the bottom of my heart for my life, marriage, children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and all the good things, well, all the great things he's given us. Praise him. As you can see now, I want to dig a hole. It's a very difficult subject. I kept the sermon short this morning. I hope you didn't mind. Because I think I've said enough. We're going to sing another hymn. Oh, welcome all ye noble saints of old. You know this one? Yeah. I've had it loads of times. Yep.
Stop laughing.
has just begun the day. God and man at table all sat down. God and man at table all sat down.
This is the gospel. I'll get it in a minute. It's just the gospel from start to finish. Oh, yes, we've had it several times. But I think for communion, it is very apt because God and man at the table sit down. Okay, we might be standing. We might be sitting down. I'm sure you'll be sitting down when you take communion. And the communion is there. It was something that Jesus gave us, which was very, very special at that Last Supper. And he told us to carry it on, didn't he? And we do. Now, I've got to try and get my pages in order. So, please forgive me for a second. It's in itself. I do apologise. I'm sorry. Ah, we went at the back. Best place for it, isn't it? Okay. Now I'm going to read from three passages from 1 Corinthians. Now, for a personal thing, they're going to be out sequence to what is written. Because I feel that Paul would have wanted it that way, and perhaps went the person that wrote it all down for him, perhaps didn't quite get it in the right order. So we start from 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 22. That's the first bit. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions amongst you, and to some extent, I believe it. Do you want to get Helen in, Rose? Rosie, get Helen in. No doubt there had to be differences amongst you to show which of you has God's approval. So when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you're eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. In the church of Corinth, they had the right idea in the first place, but things started going wrong, as you probably know. The whole books of Corinth is Paul trying to turn them back round sight of Jesus because they were doing their own thing. Now, the second passage I'm going to read is the last passage, 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 29. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. Now, I think this is a time where we pray, isn't it? We pray for the Lord to touch our hearts, to cleanse our hearts, to take away the evil thoughts and deeds we've been involved with. We all sin. I sin. And it's lovely when the Lord, knowing the Lord will forgive us because we come to him for forgiveness. So in a moment of silence, let's just give ourselves to the Lord. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Distribute the bread, please. When you receive the bread, you can eat it. Yeah, I'm going to wait. Take yours. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That's something really special, isn't it? Okay. So when you get your little fruit juice, please hang on to it and we'll join together. Okay. I'll make it one. Let's join together. Just think that. Let's give thanks to Jesus for the life he gave for us. He shed his blood for us. He died in a horrible manner on the cross. And he rose to give us everlasting life as long as we believe and trust in him and ask for the forgiveness of the Lord. Amen. Now, Rose is going to take over from us now, but just before she does, has anybody got anybody special for prayers, please? Could you put the prayer box up just in case we've already got it. That's the best way, isn't it?
And at this moment, I'm going to pray for everybody here who's got anything wrong, physically wrong, or whatever, Lord. I just need a gentle touch from you. Just pray, Lord, that you will be with us here today. Your spirit touch our hearts. Your spirit touch our minds. Cover us with your love and your blood so that we'll go forth and then we'll know that you are the Lord and Lord of our lives, Lord of our hearts. And we pray for Gilson and Cranbrook Road. He had his induction yesterday. And we just pray for continuing good ministry there, Lord, and the people will be blessed by his ministry. We pray for the Yemen, Afghanistan, and the Sudan. Lord, Somalia, you never said that. And Ethiopia. Lord, there's so many countries that really are torn apart through war, and the main problem being is that the children are suffering because there's no food, no aid, nothing getting in because the money's all going on wars. Lord, bring peace to this world. Only you can. Only you, Lord, can change things. We also pray for the politician, who I've temporarily forgotten his name, who was stabbed yesterday, Lord. We pray for his family, Lord, and that you will be with each and every one of them. It's an awful thing to be at work and then suddenly somebody comes in and stabs you, Lord. Help people in this world to see that life is precious, not just something to take at a whim. Just be with us, Lord. Change this world. And it can only be changed by you and your spirit. And help us to bring your love to other people so that we can spread that love and peace, that people can live together in harmony in you. We pray for the various charities, Lord, that have been affected quite a lot by the COVID. And even though a lot of things are getting back to normal, there's still plenty of them that need help and support. So I pray, I can't mention them all, Lord, because there's just too many, but I'll just pray that you know which charities need the money the most or need the help the most or need our prayers the most. So, Lord, just put it on our hearts, whether it be London City Mission, Salvation Army, Cancer Research, Heart Foundation, or any of the other things that need support from us. Help us to know what to pray for and how to help them in any way that we can, Lord. And Lord, we ask all these prayers in your name. Pray for your wonderful name, because you are a wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And we're going to sing now, Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing. This is not the final hymn, for those that are making tea.
Our fears that dips our sorrow seas,
that fits a sorrow's seas. Tis music in the sailors' ears. Tis life and health and peace. Tis life and health and peace. Tis life and health.
Tis life and health.
Jesus laid, the Lamb of God was slain, the Lamb of God was slain. His soul was once an offering made for every soul of
every soul,
for every soul,
for every soul,
for every soul, for the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. His blood availed for me. His blood availed,
his blood availed
for me.
He speaks and
listen to his voice.
New life that dead receive. New life that dead receive.
The mournful broken heart. The humble poor believe,
the humble poor believe,
the humble poor,
the humble poor believe.
Hear him ye deaf,
his praise ye dumb. The loosened tongues employ joy.
Ye blind, behold your Saviour come, and leap ye lame for joy, and leap ye lame for joy,
and leap
ye lame, and leap ye lame for joy. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, assist me to proclaim,
to spread through the earth abroad
the honors of
the
thy
honors
name,
of thy
the honors
name.
Of thy
the
name,
of thy
the
name.
Honors, the honors of
thank you. I'm going to read a poem now, but before I do, I'm going to say, Mike and Hyde, I boosted jabs yesterday, and it's a wonderful thing that when things like we've got illnesses and diseases, we can be protected from it. We also had our flu jabs during the week, so if we go a bit doolally, you'll know why. There are things we can do to protect ourselves from some things. There are some things we can't protect ourselves from. Some things God doesn't protect us from. But he uses whatever situation we may find difficult to our advantage, or to his glory, I should say. So even when things are going wrong and you seem very down and distressed and whatever, we must try and give it to God and know that he is our ultimate protection. We may not be able to have a jab, but we've got prayer, which is far more powerful. So we must lift whatever was wrong in prayer to God. That doesn't mean we can't have that jabs, because that's still important. But just remember that God is always there. Right. Why me? I sit at home all day alone. No visit, no letter. He won't even phone. I sit and I wonder about how things went wrong. I see love in the streets and on telly and in songs. I look up to heaven. Oh God, why me? What have I done to deserve this misery? If God doesn't answer, well, where is he now? I'll ask once again, but I can't see how. If he's all for love, goodness and joy, why lose me a husband to gain me a boy? I look at the people as they walk by. I see cars on the street and planes in the sky. Of all these people, God, why pick on me? I'm no greater sinner than he or she. I sometimes stand and look far off to the west, and I wonder just what I should do for the best. He left me alone, bearing his son. But God, why have you left me? What wrong have I done? So with all these problems, to court we must go. Please tell me, O good God, why must it be so? To seek a divorce is wrong, this I know, but the church and the Bible tell me so. But this is the only thing left for us now. I wish there was some other way but her. His love for me has gone quite cold. We won't live together until we grow old. So now it's over, finished for good. Please explain why, Lord, I wish you would. From this guilty feeling I'm feeling inside, I wish I could run from it and hide. But I mustn't sink under, I must still go on. For this child that I have now, things mustn't go wrong. So for his sake, I continue as before. I feel I have failed you, Lord, once more. I feel such a failure in all that I do, that nobody loves me, Lord, not even you. I've let you down, God, I've broken your word. You sent me no message that I've seen or heard. So why, Lord, desert me? Why must it be me? I ask and I ask, but I fail to see. Why must it happen? No reason I know. Please tell me, O God, why is it so? I look up to heaven again and ask, why me? I have not forgotten you, though things seem bad. Lift your heart to me, child, please don't be sad. For soon you will notice a change you will make. When you follow my guidance, my love, you will take. My son will soon fill you with love yet unknown. Just find him, my child, and the truth you'll then know. For he will then bless you with his spirit from me. Just be patient, my child, and then you will see. So I just waited. This wasn't enough. I wanted to find out some more of this love. So I turned to the Bible about Jesus, God's son. And I hadn't known him at all the things he had done. Then I pray again to the Father up high. I love you, my Father, I pray with a sigh. Please show me, the Lord, what I have to do to come nearer to you and your son too, so that I may love both of you more dear, to speak to and praise, feel your presence near. Please show me, my Father, I am sorry for all that I have done wrong to your son and you. Forgive me, my Father, and Jesus, my Lord. Please fill me with God's spirit and word. My daughter, I forgave you a long time ago. It's you who's finding it hard to do so. Now you must forget it and start life anew. My spirit will guide you in all that you do. For soon now, my daughter, your prayers will come true, just like my son, as he loves you. I thought of this answer, but I love Jesus too. We have a love, God, that's second only to you. But I was wrong. There was one more test. An evil thought possessed me, gave me no rest. Did Jesus really exist all this time? Or was it just someone made up for a rhyme? I wondered and wondered, could it be so? As I wasn't there then, I wouldn't know. I'm sorry, Lord Jesus, I don't know why. I feel so unhappy, I wish I could die. To deny you, Lord Jesus, stupid, I know. Of course you exist, God told me so. How could I deny you? I wish I knew why. Forgive me, O Jesus, I weep and I sigh. Not only to my Father I pray, but to you. I feel guilty, Lord Jesus, and so filled with shame. Please help me not to let it happen again. I'm here now, my daughter. Forgive you, I have. For I know all your faults and your heart is so sad. For surely you love me. My child, come near. I reach out my hand. Come take it. Hold it dear. For now that you see in your heart all this, my glory and love, nevermore will you miss. My daughter, now I fill you with the Holy Spirit. Sorry, there's another page on it. Sorry about this. This is my original typed one. Before I had a computer, it was all types. Suddenly then I sit up with a start. Something wonderful has just filled my heart. My father was right. This love I now feel is so joyous, so peaceful, so beautifully real. I had not imagined, I just hadn't known, that the seed he had planted had suddenly grown. To blossom more fully with love for all things, not sell his house, his cars and rings, but the land with life and animals about. The folk in the houses and ones in the street, all those who I never likely to meet, my brothers and sisters all over the earth. For if I was to tell them, would say, what on earth? This person was not got to tell of this love she has for us from heaven above. But I still love them and pray that one day they will find God's glory and love in this way. Thank you for listening. Now we're going to sing another hymn and have our final prayers. Oh, there's a collection box at the top here if you, for people who want to give an offering. And we just pray for that now. We just praise you, Lord, and pray for all that you've given us that we can give back to you and share with other people. We praise you, Lord, that you have given us so much. Amen. Didn't tell you what hymn we were reading, did I? I will build my church. Thank you. My prompter.
Church.
I will build my church,
and the gates of hell,
and the gates of hell,
shall not prevail
against it.
I will build my church,
I will build my church,
and the gates of hell,
and the gates of hell,
shall not prevail
against it.
Powers of the heavens above, bow down, and the powers of the earth below, bow down, and acknowledge Jesus is Lord, is Lord. My church.
And the gates of hell
shall not prevail
against it. The powers of
the heaven above, bow down, and the powers of the earth below, bow down and acknowledge Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is Lord, is Lord.